Good evening and welcome to tonight's meeting of Inforum, dubbed the Hip Young Division of Commonwealth Club with a mission to inspire debate on civic issues. You can find us online at commonwealthclub.org/inforum. And I'm Rehan Hermansi. Joining me tonight is Wendy Northcutt, the founder of the cult phenomenon, the Darwin Awards. Each year the awards are given out to commemorate the evolution of the human species by honoring those who improve our gene pool by removing themselves from it. Tonight we'll hear her take on chronicling these true and morbidly hilarious stories of idiotic accidents. Thanks, Wendy.
Hi, I'm Wendy, and I wanted to apologize for being so late. I left early enough to get here an hour early, but things happen to me that are very Darwin Awards in nature all the time, and traffic and getting lost and parking problems made me actually late to talk to you, and I'm very sorry about that. I brought a lot of little goodies, inexpensive goodies like bookmarks and postcards I was going to pass out in advance, so make sure to grab some things from the table when you leave. And thank you all for coming. I'm really looking forward to answering your questions later and talking to you.
Great. So, Wendy, you have a background as a molecular biologist. How did you come to start this sort of internet meme?
Well, I really loved working in the laboratory. I was working at Stanford. We're in San Francisco now, so you all probably know people from Stanford. And I was working for a very wealthy laboratory. We had all sorts of equipment, like in CSI. We had everything. We had centrifuges and multiple PCR machines, and it was really fun working in the lab. So I loved my job, and I was just playing around on the internet on the side when the experiments sometimes took 45 minutes for the gels to run or something like that. So when the internet first became a web-based form, I just learned how to do it right at the very beginning, and I wrote funny stories. I had all kinds of funny stories on there. I had stories about the stupid person who couldn't figure out the discount on Christmas candy. It was 50% off a 79-cent item, and she had so much trouble with it behind the counter. It was just excruciating, and I was more than willing to pay 40 cents. 40 cents was... And I think it finally cost me 37 cents, but I would write just little funny vignettes. I can't write novels. I don't think I like to write vignettes. And the Darwin Awards were actually, the Darwin Awards were the second most popular part of my website, because the most popular was this joke part of my presentation was these little pictures of cats and dogs. I called it pet porn, but it really wasn't pornographic. It's like my dog was roughhousing with my dad, and they were roughhousing when I was taking a picture, and the dog stuck his tongue in my dad's mouth at that very moment. Things like that, dogs French kissing, and but that was the most popular part of all my writing. People were coming to hit on that those pages like crazy. I was really embarrassed, so I pulled that down when I found out it was so popular, and then the Darwin Awards was second most popular.
So when did you first hear the term Darwin Awards? Because I think I've read that it came out of like Usenet groups, some kind of primordial soup of the internet.
I guess I probably first heard it in the early 90s. My cousin Ian told me, hey, Wendy, have you ever heard about the Darwin Awards? And my cousin Ian was always finding interesting things. He started a church so that he could make one of the tenets of his religion the requirement that he had long hair because he didn't, no, that he had a beard because he didn't want to cut his beard when he worked at this pizza parlor. So he's very eccentric, and he turned me on to the Darwin Awards a long time ago, and I loved them. They were really so funny. They fit in with my work I was doing. They really just inspired me when I was standing in line behind the person who can't make change, or when I was, you know, any time you deal with someone very frustrating, you think, well, yes, but the human race is evolving, and someday we'll be beyond all of this.
But not so much.
So I gathered them, and there were only five then that I could find. So I just loved it, and I wrote more, and I got the ball rolling with people submitting stories and things, and...
I've read that you shut down Stanford servers because of the traffic to Darwin Awards.
Well, I think it was more... Well, I didn't shut them down, but the fellow who ran the server over in the medical center, he said, you're getting more traffic than all of the scientific pages combined. And he said, you have to get out of here. You're just too big. And it was really... He kicked me out, so I had to run out and get my own website, and that's when I got the domain darwinawards.com. And it was really a blessing in disguise. At the time, I was, you know, well, I didn't mind so much, but this guy named Jorge Cham writes PhD, Piled Higher and Deeper. They're a comic from Stanford, and no one kicked him off the server. They thought it was great that he was really popular while he was a student there writing those. So anyway, they could have kept me, and I would have still been there, but no.
But no.
They fledged me. I guess they fledged me onto the real world.
So When did you leave
Stanford? I'm a Stanford startup.
Just like Google. So when did you leave and sort of start your own site?
Well, I didn't actually leave science. I just started my own site, but I was working still at the laboratory, and then I left Stanford, and I was working in in industry. I started managing a protein purification group, and I was always just doing the Darwin Award stuff on the side. I learned how to program Perl. It got huge. I mean, it was so exciting watching the numbers go up and up and up, and never knowing when the audience would stop coming. And I think it got to like 700,000 hits a day. I used to have to keep swapping different virtual servers, and it's really hard to handle all the traffic.
So, did it? I've read that like in 1993 maybe you started. So like when
93? That's probably when I got DarwinAwards.com.
Right.
That's when that happened. Something like.
And then so was it like that hockey stick to the business dream of growing that fast? I mean, was it like something that you felt like it was overnight, or did it build over a period of years?
Oh, it built over several, like 6 years, I guess, over 6 years. And then I guess the hockey stick would be the top, because then it started leveling out. But mm-hmm. really, in 2000, people used to email me all sorts of things. They'd email me stories, and they'd email me relatives that they thought should earn a Darwin Award. So... And to put an end to that, I now have Darwin Award condoms, so you can stop someone from reproducing. So we all know someone like that. But people would send me various offers. I think a beer company was saying, can we use your Darwin Awards for our little beer from Australia? And I just ignored them. And then someone got me on the telephone and wanted to offer me money for writing a book. And I never found out how they got my telephone number. But that was in about 2000, I think, is when I finally decided to put all those stories into a published form. Mm-hmm.
So when did this become sort of a full-time thing? Around that time?
Yeah, right then. I think it was right then. Yes, I wasn't so happy at my job. I was a webmaster for a year. It was a lot different from science. So when the book opportunity came in, I made sure it paid me enough for 6 months, and mm-hmm. I spent 6 months writing it. And it hit the New York Times bestseller list.
Well, you know,
I've been working on the Darwin Awards ever since.
Well, you know, I feel like every other day I hear about a kind of LOL cat getting a book or like a blog getting a book, but you've really managed to turn this into like your 6 books in at this point. Why do you think that, I mean, Darwin Awards has lasted this long? I mean, internet trends can come and go.
I was the first one. I remember I was one of the very, very first. I don't think there was a first before me. And if there is, someone can correct me. But I remember I was just blazing the way towards turning an internet property into a book, and publishers didn't want my stories on the internet. There was a little bidding war. It was super exciting. Can you imagine? You know, I didn't know what was going to happen at that time. But people in the bidding war were offering not just money, but a nicer book. I said, I have to have the stories on the website. That's where they all come from. The audience submits them. Mm-hmm. And most publishers were very leery of that at the time. But my publisher, Dutton, through Penguin Putnam, they said, no problem. Well, okay, 10% news stories? And I said, sure. So I think keeping everything available to people, listening to people when they were saying, that story was about a 12-year-old. That wasn't funny. I'm like, oh, you're right. That wasn't funny. Yeah. So it just listening to people and making it not just mine, but more of a, I was shepherding it. Because I don't have time to say this is a Darwin Award, that's a Darwin Award. You guys see them in your local newspaper, and as long as you know what a Darwin Award is, what the 5 rules are, you know, you can call them yourself. So it's not just mine. It's very community.
So what are the 5 rules?
Oh, I know I have to remember them. Well, you have to be out of the gene pool. You have to be out of the gene pool. So that doesn't mean you're dead, but you're usually dead. Everyone knows how you win a Darwin Award if you're not actually... How can you win a Darwin Award and still... Some people in the audience might actually have one. That gentleman in the back just raised his hand. I think he might have one. But yeah, there are a few winners who do horrible things like electrify cow hearts and use them for sexual objects. And they're still alive. They just can't have kids anymore. So out of the gene pool, rule number one. And something spectacularly stupid is rule number two. Something I haven't heard before, preferably, because something that's funny once, like the guy going up in hot air balloons, that's funny once, but now several people have gone up in hot air balloons. Do you guys know the story I'm talking about? The priest went up most recently, like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So something really novel, something really funny. And I think I understand you're going to give me a couple from a local, not from local, but from, you know, the news to decide on right here. We can all decide on them.
Lightning round Darwin Awards. But so I think we were at 4 in terms of the award.
Okay, so
out of the gene pool.
Self-selection, you have to do it to yourself because these are actually the tenets of natural selection. Self-selection. Oh. You can't give someone a Darwin Award. They have to earn it for themselves. It has to be an adult, someone who's mature. It has to be someone who's mature, someone who knows the difference between right and wrong and was just clueless. So that's why there are no children or people who actually have mental impediments that mean they can't make decisions for themselves. They should be taken care of. But I did have a wheelchair winner recently, the first wheelchair winner. So you can have an impediment but still win a Darwin Award if that didn't really have that much to do with it.
Yeah, I think I read about
this. Yeah?
What was the scenario?
You've been really browsing my website. She's done a great job with her research.
At work. Well,
would you like to tell the story?
As I understand it, there was a man in a wheelchair who was frustrated the elevator hadn't come yet. So he started repeatedly ramming the elevator doors open after it had left. In his wheelchair. And he succeeded in prying the doors open and then fell directly down the elevator shaft. So that's unfortunate.
I know, it's terrible, isn't it? It was a terrible tragedy. And the one thing I liked about that one, I liked the little media, the newspaper writings, because, of course, that's a very serious tragedy. And a lot of the times the public officials want to show they're doing something about it. And they were saying that the regulations need to be strengthened so those doors cannot be bashed through so very, very easily by three or four ramps of the wheelchair. I like that.
Yeah. It seems like lawsuits follow Darwin Award winners also, even unlikely lawsuits, you know, like when somebody hurts themselves and then their relatives sue for something.
Those are the Stella Awards. Actually, they're published by my publisher, so you guys can buy the Stella Awards too. But there's a whole list of awards of people who were stupid idiots who got caught during the commission of a crime. Someone's garage and had to live on dog food. He was stealing from the house, and he was caught in the garage, and he had to live on dog food and Pepsi until he got home from vacation. he sued. So,
we're all sort of laughing at these tales, but, it's a kind of uncomfortable thing, you know, like these people have taken themselves out of the gene pool a lot of times permanently. What happens when you do you hear from families of people that are Darwin Award winners who get sort of write-ups on the basis of their own stupid actions, you know?
I do sometimes. I do, actually. When I used to hear from family members, I would just take it off the website mostly. I'd talk to them about it. I'd say, I didn't mean to offend you. Because it was a college thing, right? It was college. Not very many people saw it. And as it grew, suddenly people started saying, hey. And so I didn't want to offend anybody, but I would say if you want it to serve as a lesson to someone else, your beloved person did juggle hand grenades at a party or whatever it was. And we can prevent other people from doing that. And about...
if so it's public books, service is what you're
so
saying.
So sometimes the family would say, I'm sorry, I snapped at you. I didn't know who you were, but you can use it half the time. And the other half, they'd go, I'm not really in with this, and I'd pull them down. But nowadays, I think everyone's more desensitized. So I hear a different side. Mm-hmm. I hear the other side of it. I was hearing people writing in saying, oh my gosh, you should hear the things he did before. And
wow.
The things leading up to that.
Wow.
And also, it really is lasting immortality, because if you just shuffle through this mortal coil and die, and no one remembers you, you're really gone forever. But at least the people in these books, someone's going to remember them. So I try to keep them sensitive, and I do answer the families.
Yeah, yeah.
Sensitive Darwin Awards. Is that an oxymoron?
There is a lot of, I think, irony in that, though, because a lot of these awards, like going through them, there's just people are experimenting with explosives all the time, you know, like they're doing attention getting things, you know, that carry some degree of risk to them. So I can see how, I don't know, like one could not feel that bad all the time, you know.
I need to check things off against the wider, you know, the wider universe. I need to check things with other people sometimes, because I've seen so much, I sometimes laugh at things that aren't as funny as you might think. Well, I mean, I think they're funny. So, yeah, it tends to, you get a little desensitized to all of it. Well, but there's so many, actually, I think the things that are funniest are the things I might do, or the things that, like cell phone problems, when two brothers were trying to find each other and they ran into each other. They were in cars and they ran into each other because they were both talking on the cell phone to each other. And they didn't die. It's an honorable mention. They're still around, but honorable mentions. And
yeah.
I could do that myself, couldn't we all? So I like the ones that seem real. They seem like something I might do myself. It sounds like a good idea. It sounds like a good idea to try to melt something flammable in the oven. And if you haven't...
yeah.
I don't know if that answered your question, right?
Well, I mean, I guess you, I've read other interviews where you talk about how you feel like you're not trying to sort of set yourself apart from these people as being, you know, like you could easily do something like this. Have you had any near misses?
Yes, and there's going to be a huge poster about 3 feet high and 2 feet wide when you guys walk out the door that shows me almost winning a Darwin Award recently, last year. So my ankle is fine now, thank you. But I'm always doing klutzy things. It's because I'm very creative, and I have 100 things on my mind, and I'm trying to carry too many things. Like if you saw me come in today, I was so late, and I had so many things, and I was crying because I couldn't get everything bungee corded onto the dolly. Do I think to leave something in the car? No, I'm always trying too much. Mm. So I thought I had this clever idea. I thought I'd cool off the house last year. It was really hot in the summer. This year, global warming has cooled us during the summer, but last year it was hot. So I said, well, to myself, the basement's always cool. Why don't I put a fan in this great big oubliette, I call it, the heating vent where a heater used to be. I'll put a fan in, blow cool basement air up. So I took the lid off, set it aside. There's a piece of plastic underneath it, and I guess I'm weak. I couldn't punch through the plastic, so I went off in search of scissors. And then I forgot the hole was there, and it was hours later where I was just walking down the hall, and I fell through the hole into my basement.
Oh, my God.
Broke my ankle. And even as I was falling through the hole practically, I'm like, oh, no, I know what I did.
You tempted fate.
Yes. And I just couldn't help but laugh as I was laying there all battered and bruised and, as it turned out, broken. But, yeah, I do stupid things all the time, so I have a lot of sympathy for people.
Yeah.
A lot of sympathy for people who are just trying to take a shortcut or save time.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who are trying to save money, it seems.
Like what?
Not, like, large amounts of money, I've read. Just, you know, like...
Like electricity and things?
Electricity, yeah, or, like, definitely trying to take shortcuts with electricity seems to be really, like, plugging into grids that one should not plug into. yeah, well, so I thought maybe we could go through a few potential Darwin Award winners that I found from the interweb. These all come from News of the Weird. I can imagine that quite a few Darwin Award winners come from this.
Yeah.
But these all happened the past few months. So we've got a 75-year-old man in Quebec who became the latest person to fall victim to his own protective booby trap. He'd apparently forgotten the exact location of the tripwire he had connected to a shotgun to deal with trespassers, and he was killed. Does this fulfill some of the...
This, in fact, is already a Darwin Award.
Oh, really?
So this happened a long time ago. It's even more to the story, because Chuck Shepherd writes a very small paragraph. It's more to the story. This crazy old coot didn't want his relatives to inherit his house. And he's in Germany where there's nothing you can do. Your relatives get your stuff. And he didn't want them to, so he started rigging booby traps all over his house that would kill people. And he began getting older, and he knew he was getting senile, so he wrote cryptic little notes to remind himself where things like shotguns, if he opened a cabinet, were going to blow his head off. But he knew he was getting senile, but he didn't disconnect any of the booby traps, and he eventually set one off. And I don't think they ever found all of the traps on his
nose. This is crazy because this comes from the Toronto Star.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, then it's just like one. Yeah, so another, maybe it's another crazy old
somebody
tooth.
Read the Darwin Award and then decided to try it.
So what do you guys think? So here we have an old Darwin Award that someone tried to... Someone killed themselves this way. And we have a new Darwin Award from Toronto. Mm-hmm. 75-year-old guy, basically the same thing, right? A booby trap. Is this a Darwin Award? What do you think? Yeah? No. People are mostly saying no, there's murmurs of discontent. I guess it's a copycat.
Copycat. Yeah.
So yes, it qualifies in this global sense, but I'm not going to put it in the archive. It's a repeat.
Right.
So yeah, he does indeed. He has satisfied all the requirements. He just happened to have done it second. That's that one.
Wow, that's...
What's that?
It's what's called parallel evolution.
Parallel evolution.
Oh, wow.
Yes, he can win a Darwin Award as a parallel evolution track. Thank you.
Bringing up parallel evolution, in your books you have science essays. You're yourself a scientist. I mean... Do you think that these stories really tell us something about human evolution?
Well, I do want to clarify to everybody that I think of myself as a scientist, and I am a scientist. I'm a scientific thinker, and I want an explanation for things that's observable. But I only have a bachelor's degree in molecular biology, so I'm not, a big scientist. But I'm really interested in the scientific questions of today, and I hire science writers from UC Santa Cruz. They have a science writing program. I hired alumni from them, their program, to write about a lot of the new topics. And when people ask me the question, are the Darwin Awards really evolution? I don't know. I mean, is there really a gene that's going to make somebody rig a bunch of deadly booby traps in their house? In a sense, you figure it must be driven in some way by genetics. But I would have to say, I think they're just humor. Mm-hmm. But today, we have found out that human evolution has been proceeding really on a furiously breakneck pace, about 10 times faster than prior to the advent of agriculture. We're evolving faster than ever before. There's all kinds of genetic changes and mutations and drifts that are happening in our species. So at this time, I would confidently say, yes, the Darwin Awards really are showing the direction that we are evolving. So away from them, I'm hoping.
Yeah.
I think so.
Well, so I saw in your book that as of last April, you've published something like 842 Darwin Awards. What are some of the things they tell us? I mean, for instance, it seems mm-hmm. like a lot of the winners are men.
So, are there any winners in the audience tonight? Is there anyone here who would qualify for a Darwin Award? Anyone maybe who has joined the voluntary human extinction movement and decided not to reproduce? If you aren't reproducing, you're an honorary member of the Darwin Awards community.
Even if you haven't, it's a voluntary choice.
Well, it's a bit tongue-in-cheek, but you choose not to reproduce, and that's well. It's definitely taking out of the next generation. Mm-hmm. But yeah, more men win. More men like to take risks. It's a way, apparently, that they get mates. Men who show off stand out a little bit more, and even if the potential mates think they're stupid, at least they noticed them. And I do think that men take more risks because it's necessary for them to take risks. It's a specialization, perhaps, where we have some people stay up late and some people wake up early so that in our communities we always would have someone who was alert to any danger. And some people need to be risk takers and some people need to be less so. And it really does seem from the Darwin Awards that men are naturally more risk taking. 10 times more, at least 10 times more. And I try hard. I pull out every woman winner I possibly can.
Affirmative action for yeah. Darwin Awards.
Affirmative action. But it's still a huge disparity.
Yeah. Have you kept any other sort of do you see like a specific age range that has like a more Darwin Award winners than others?
I haven't examined for that, and I'm not thinking of an age range off the top of my head. One mm-hmm. would assume it was teenagers or young people, mm-hmm. but I don't know. Maybe there's more in the young 20s, but it doesn't seem likely. I think there might be a peak in the 20s and a peak in the older years. And mm-hmm. anyway, someone who's already can't really have kids, a 75-year-old isn't going to have more kids. They're all sketchy. Sometimes my audience writes in and says, are you sure you're going to give a Darwin Award to someone who's that old and can't have kids anyway? Right. So, yeah, I guess if there's a peak, I'd go with the young 20s, but mm-hmm. I'll research it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, one of the things where these sort of like, this was an early experiment, it seems, in crowdsourcing, you know? And so your community does a lot of the work in verifying them. But how does it work from a submitted suggestion to appearing in the book?
Well, let's see. Yeah, crowdsourcing is definitely what I do. I was getting thousands of emails a week. And I couldn't read them all. And people were really thoughtful, too. They really wanted to know the philosophy of, wait a minute, this person that you nominated has an identical twin. Their DNA is still out there. And they would want to debate with me. That's a good question. And I still don't know the answer. I suppose it's a difficult one. So I needed to try to find some way to deal with all of the interesting ideas that were coming in. I set up a discussion forum that I call the Philosophy Forum so people could start discussing the merits. And I experimented with things like they have on Slashdot where you can add comments to the stories. And oh my gosh, my website really needs an overhaul. And I'm sorry about that. It'll come soon. But still, I put in voting so that people could vote on things and automatic submissions. And I wrote all these little scripts in the background that are still running today, like 10 years later, so I could have moderators. Okay, so the process is, you guys see something stupid, even if you don't see it in the newspaper, you see it with your very own eyes, you should tell me. You can go ahead and come to the Darwin Awards website, darwinawards.com, and put it in the submission, okay? Submit it, it goes into a queue, and we'll have volunteer moderators, and they're going to read it, and they're going to say, well, okay, is this just a case of poetic justice? Something happened recently that was definitely not a Darwin Award, and someone really argued for it. He submitted it, and then he submitted a rebuttal to the moderators. There was someone who stole a bicycle, and he was riding the bicycle a couple hours later to another crime site when he was struck by a car and killed. And like, this is a Darwin Award, and it's not. It's poetic justice because he wasn't doing anything. Then you're going to submit it, and it really doesn't have the greatest chance of hitting the slush pile where people can vote on it unless you pay attention and try to make sure it really fits the rules. Mm-hmm. So the moderators take a look, and then it goes into a public place where people can all read it. And if it's your personal story, there's a lot of personal stories, and you can have some fame. You can be on the Darwin Awards website with people voting on your story and telling you how much of a dumbass, of a dummy they think you are. And that's kind of fun. I guess that's great. I find it so.
Well, it's hard to read the news now without thinking about this, you know, like, I remember reading this a few months ago, a 49-year-old Bakersfield, California doctor whose relationship with her boyfriend was described as on again, off again, was killed in August when, after he had locked her out of his house, she tried to enter by sliding down the chimney, where she got stuck and asphyxiated. But, I mean, she's a doctor, you know?
Okay, so you think she was aware that oxygen is a requirement?
I would think she would have a lot of, I don't know, sort of understand, I don't know physics exactly, but, you know, sliding down the chimney doesn't seem like the best way to enter. And then here's another one I kind of love, too. A 29-year-old man.
I think that one would qualify. That sounds pretty stupid. Unless for some reason we don't know, but we don't know. We could invent reasons she wouldn't win a Darwin Award.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if she had been locked out and she needed to get her medication.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
There are extenuating circumstances, but that's just spinning yarns. I think that was pretty stupid to slide down a chimney to get in the house. So I would say, yeah, she qualifies.
I think it's the chimney that really does it.
The chimney,
right. Like, that's
not
unusual.
Not in a window.
Yeah.
Or try to slide in the cat door, which might be a more common way of getting stuck.
But the
chimney.
It's funny, though. I feel terrible laughing. What can you do?
There's the German word where you take joy in the misfortune of others.
Schadenfreude
is something maybe you should cultivate as a personal.
I think I'm there. This one I think was submitted to your site too. A 29-year-old man and a group of 12 ghost hunters on a field trip in North Carolina in August was killed in a speeding train. The 12 were investigating a rumored ghost train that killed 30 people in an 1891 crash and supposedly returns every year on the anniversary date.
So you're reading a story about people who were looking for a ghost train that killed people many, many years ago.
Apparently.
And they got killed by a ghost train?
Apparently.
Because that would be ironic.
The train, I think it just doesn't come back just on the anniversaries. I'm sure the train actually runs like 3 times a day or something.
So.
But.
Well, I don't know. That's an interesting one. How many people got killed?
I think only one man. I think there were 12 ghost hunters, but only one of them got snagged.
I think I need more information to call that one.
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah, I need more information.
Yeah.
But it sounds, I wouldn't rule it out yet from what I've heard.
So do you find yourself like thinking about death a lot? I mean, because this is something you're like immersed in.
Yeah, I do. There was a drummer. I go hooping in Santa Cruz, and there was a drummer who was killed on a motorcycle at 30. And I know my assistant Rachel, that if anyone writes to the Darwin Awards, you might have heard from Rachel. She had a friend who died at 30 with two kids, I think about death a lot, and I think it's really important just to know it could happen any time, and you have to really try to enjoy now, even if now has an unpleasant emotion or now isn't so great, it's really better than not existing at all. Yeah, I think mm-hmm. about death.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a name for people who study death. It's they're thanatologists. Thanatology. That's what I am. I'm a thanatologist.
Yeah. Do you have, I know this is morbid, but do you have like a way, can you imagine like your worst case scenario for death, or?
Well, there's some pleasant Darwin Award deaths that I wouldn't mind going if I could turn to those instead. Like the people who climbed into a large helium advertising balloon for a little giggle of sucking in the helium, and they died of helium poisoning while they were laughing inside the balloon. That's not such a bad way to go.
I didn't.
And then there's quick ways to go, like the person who asphyxiated in a chimney. That's kind of suspect to me. It doesn't make me laugh as much as someone who just goes like that. There's this guy who he'd always dip his chewing gum in citric acid crystals and pop it back in his mouth and recharge the flavor. And he took explosive home from his laboratory. It was at his house, and he absentmindedly dipped the gum in the explosive.
Oh, my God.
But it was quick. You know, that's not such a bad way to go.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
But as far as, bad ways to go, I really don't think, I don't think I'd like to dwell on that. Do you have a favorite bad way to go?
No. I mean, I think it's, although I do, I have thought before about, like, ways that I really wouldn't want to go, and I think it's, like, texting while walking across the street would not feel like a satisfying end, you know? In fact, I saw in one of your FAQs at the end of the book, you said that you have, you've learned that you don't use a cell phone while driving and do not use a chair with wheels when you're reaching a high place.
That's right.
Are there other kind of lessons here?
Well, I've gotten really bad at the cell phone, for a while I didn't use the cell phone at all while I was driving, and I advise people to put it in the back seat, to put it where you can't even get at it. It is so dangerous. There was a man who had car trouble in Kansas, and he pulled off the interstate, and he started walking down this railroad track calling for help on his cell phone, and a train was coming right at him, not behind him, but right at him, and he plugged his ear to silence it while he was talking on the cell phone, and the train couldn't stop in time, and the engineer needed counseling. So definitely get off those cell phones whenever there's any attention needed for anything else. But okay, people who think explosives aren't quite as deadly as they are, if you want something to blow up, you put an accelerant on it, it makes a bigger boom. But if you put some accelerant in an enclosed container, it makes a bomb. So that's something a lot of people run afoul of.
Yeah. I was surprised at how many homemade explosives appear in the books. Maybe because it's never occurred to me to, like, make my own fireworks, you know, or detonate them in my house.
All the books have a chapter on explosions. There's a lot of things that you can, do with those.
What are some of the least common, like, things?
Oh, I have a favorite least common. There is a least common, and this came out not in this book, but in the previous book. But I do want to tell everyone, this is the best book I've ever written. It really is. So much effort went in, 12-hour days for 6 months. People thought I was crazy. I was working way harder on this book than any other book before. It was really a labor of love. But in the previous book, my favorite off-the-wall oddball story was the fellow who liked to drink his alcohol by way of an enema, which I hadn't heard of, but since you're the young, hip, urban crowd. Anyway, the listeners are dubbed as the young, hip, urban crowd, and I want to tell you that I know it's popular in your circles to do alcohol this way. That was something I'd been unaware of. Apparently, people think maybe it won't hit the breathalyzer, and also there's talk... there's some talk that maybe it gets absorbed faster through the lining down there, and... I don't know about that, but what I thought was a one-off freak example of a guy who, instead of getting an enema with his favorite Colt 45 or beer or whatever it was, decided to do it with sherry. He died of alcohol poisoning. Well, that could happen to a lot of you college students, so knock it off. Be careful.
I was surprised. I thought I would read more like drug stories, you know, like people that took acid and thought they could fly or something. A lot of it was people that seemed a lot more like practical, like the power grid circumventing electrical circuit seems to be like a very common thing, you know, and obviously anything to do with cars, you know, like falling out of cars, like trying to, I saw something about two women who were trying to switch positions while they were driving, and she climbed up on the roof and fell off, you know.
Right.
It seemed really unfortunate. But yeah, I mean, maybe because you do tend to, you filter out the teenagers from this, right?
Well, I think if you take drugs, you've made a decision. A lot of people have tried drugs of various sorts. So I wouldn't say just deciding to take acid or LSD is going to give you a Darwin Award. You might just want the experience. And once you've taken it, though, anything weird could happen. I just don't think it's that funny when you decide to fly off a roof or whatever. Okay, your brain chemistry is altered. Mm-hmm. You made a decision to take the drug, whatever it was, but after that, whatever silly thing befalls you, I don't know, it's not that funny. But if you actually decide that you have this plan if you decide upon a plan, it's very much funnier. If you're just trying to save time instead of climbing way down a vat and climbing up the other vat to check the safety device over there. If you just stretch a little further, you know, you can leap across. That's a little bit more planning, and I like that. I think that's much funnier than someone who, say, accidentally dropped their keys into a vat of French fries and reached in. That's not a Darwin Award. It's just an instinct. It's not funny. Planning makes the funniest Darwin Award.
Yeah. Do you have any all-time favorites? Just something that...
Gosh. Now you've stumped me. Ask me in a category. I don't know. That's a stumper.
Category.
Do I have any all-time favorites?
Female Darwin Award winners.
Female Darwin Award winners. I've got a great female honorable mention. She didn't win, but she was really close. And I have so many honorable mentions that she wanted to swim with the dolphins in Florida. And so she was out swimming with the dolphins when the Coast Guard pulled up and said, are you aware that you're swimming with sharks?
And
she levitated into the boat. Oh, there's another woman. There's another really funny woman. Unfortunately, another honorable mention. I mean, remember, this is an honorable mention. This is more of a philosophical Darwin Award. But she was in Yellowstone Park, and a park ranger noticed a bunch of people pulled off the side of the road. So he pulled off to see what they were looking at. And they were looking at bear cubs with their moms, cute little bear cubs. And he saw a woman over at the side, and she was doing something or other, and he walked over, and she was smearing honey on her little boy's face. She wanted to get a close-up of the camera. Okay, so he prevented a near tragedy, but in kind of a philosophical way, you can think, maybe, you know, you can see she was trying not to have any kids in the next generation. I know that's where I need to check in. That probably goes a little beyond the pale.
Yeah, well, it does bring up questions about parents and kids, like, by being a bad I don't know what really it brings up. That's a really...
This fellow, I meet so many fans, and when I meet fans, a lot of the times I meet them as they're screaming, running at me, going, ah, I love the Darwin Awards. He said, I raised all my kids on the Darwin Awards. I told them, you go ahead. He's from Australia. I said, you go ahead. Do anything you want. If you die, it's your own fault. He said he read the Darwin Awards to him since they were little kids. I liked that. That was kind of nice. And I'd love to put out some cautionary stories for kids. The only thing is you have to make sure the adults are okay with it. So leave out all of the things that are adult themed and just put in the horrible accidents. Kids think they're invulnerable. Kids think those stories are funny, and they're pretty good lessons, I think.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be taking some questions soon. Okay. So you guys get ready. I think, is it now? Are we good? 5 minutes? Okay. It's kind of a tough sell, I could imagine, though, a children's book of Darwin Awards. I mean, the illustrations would be hard, too. You know?
I have stories that might not be Darwin Awards, but that might just be stories that kids ought to be aware of. This isn't a Darwin Award, but this is one that I was called on because it's a 12-year-old, and he was doing what the other kids were on the beach. They were jumping off the pier on their bicycles and dragging him back up the beach. And he tied his bicycle to his wrist so he wouldn't lose it, but it just dragged him down. Things like that, you know, well, things happen to kids. So it's maybe not the Darwin Awards, but certainly cautionary tales for kids. I'd like to put that out there. I think it would be really useful.
Yeah. Well, cautionary tale. Do you think if you had to sum up, like, what is there one lesson to take from these Darwin Awards, you know, like don't play with fireworks or... Just like be conscious of what you're doing, or
well, I think that in fact in the book I've written a lot of the lessons from the Darwin Awards, and some of the top lessons are things like don't take that shortcut to save time. If you're going to take a shortcut to save time, you'd better think twice, because that shortcut might be just the time saving thing that nature natural selection has put in your path, as she chuckles behind the scenes.
Right.
What else? Well, I think there's just too many people on the planet, and there's inevitably going to be somebody who makes a mistake or makes an accident. So don't work too hard trying to avoid a Darwin Award, because number one, I'll be out of work. And number two, stuff happens. You know, stuff happens. So I think if you just realize that you're one of the klutzes or one of the safe people and you act accordingly, I know I'm one of the klutzes. I'm one of the people who accidentally leaves open holes in my floor and falls through them. And if you're one of those klutzes too, go out of your way to read stories about the Darwin Awards. Then you'll know to get off that rolling chair while you're filling your bird feeder. You'll know not to smoke as you're deflating the air mattress you filled last night with puncture filling solvent spray. You'll know to Google the amount of dynamite you need to blow up an ATM, and you won't blow up the whole building instead of just the ATM like some recent Darwin Award winners did.
Yeah, I think
just know where your klutzy zone is.
Yeah. Well, with that, we've got a mic.
By the way, I wouldn't mind having a copy of a book if someone could run for my question and answers. I might need
That's
it.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Kind of a two-part question, but...
Hi there. What's your name?
Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Hi. So if we're evolving away from the Darwin Awards, are you seeing a trend towards... Are you getting less submissions, or are you getting more submissions?
Well, Jim, I thought I'd get less submissions. When I first started, I knew that the stupidest things had already happened. The fellow who slept with a gun on his nightstand, and he answered the gun when the phone rang. Right? But as it happens, novel things happen year after year after year, and I suppose that we could have a case of punctuated equilibrium where suddenly we all get smarter and I lose my livelihood, but so far we've got a good steady stream of new things coming in.
Do you think the Jackass movies have anything to do with that?
Have you seen the Jackass movies?
No, I haven't. No, actually, I don't like the Jackass idea. I haven't seen Jackass, but people start submitting them for the Darwin Awards constantly. And these people are making an informed decision to get notoriety by doing something stupid. And maybe that's the path for them, but they're not really Darwin Award winners because they're taking this informed risk choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 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 So I just don't like to promote things. Like, I don't like to encourage people to take risks. So really, I'm only awarding people who do it accidentally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But does that have nothing against the movie?
Hi, my name is Leah, and
Hi,
I'm
Leah.
Wondering if you've noticed any inclination to become more scientifically evolved with humans, any people making themselves into cyborgs or that have very bad results. I don't know. I haven't read your
Actually, I've had a rash of submissions about these cyborg explosions.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid the government has asked me to hush up on it, so I haven't been able to publish the results. But I would say that the experimentation that I've been seeing on home surgeries suggests that it's probably not a good idea if you want to stay alive. And so...
God.
My name's Janine. And to me, I've always thought we were close to a catastrophe, and that's the night before Christmas, where you're putting all those things together, the toys for the kids. Do you have some of those parent-kid stories that... really validate your whole thesis?
I do. I have some really heartwarming parent-child stories. In this book, I have a whole chapter on dads. So there's a beautiful story about Christmas in there. It's a fellow who always made fruitcakes at Christmas, and they were really good alcoholic fruitcakes, so his friends loved to get them. And he was making the fruitcake, which you have to slide into the oven carefully and have the oven at a low temperature so it doesn't catch on fire. And his dad came into the kitchen and said, "You're never going to cook a fruitcake at 275 degrees. And he reached over and he turned the oven up higher. The fruitcake exploded. Everybody survived, but that's a feel-good Christmas story. And the fellow who submitted that story said that his dad is no longer with us, but he wanted to have it appear on the Darwin Awards as a memorial for his father. So, I hope that's the idea that you were thinking of when you asked your question.
And my other field of interest is technology. Do you have one for us about technology?
Well, technology. I could reach for a kind of technology. There's the person who built his own trebuchet, but that's probably not what you're looking for. So, yeah, a person built a trebuchet. That's pretty high tech. You build something like that with your own hands, and he calculated the force that it was flinging the ballast at, and he climbed into the trebuchet and he shot himself towards the net and he missed. But you're looking for a bigger kind of technology, and I'm not coming up with a big technology Darwin story at the time. I can't think of one right offhand.
Well, the trebuchet story was great, because I actually knew what one was before you explained it. Years ago in the Coevolution Quarterly, Stuart Brand's publication that followed the Whole Earth Catalog, he published a scholarly essay written by somebody on the science of stupidity. And I'm wondering if your work leads you to validate his two laws of stupidity.
Okay, what are they?
And the two laws of stupidity are, in any human population, there are more stupid people than you think. And the second law is, even when you allow for the first law, it still works.
Oh, I like that. I'd love to read that essay. It sounds really good.
I'll send it to you.
Oh, please do. Thank you. You can send that to me just through the website if you like. Or I'll give you a card later. Well, there's a lot of quotes by famous people like Einstein saying that the only thing more abundant than hydrogen in the universe is stupidity. And Frank Zappa saying something about you can't prevent the stupidity out of there. Oh, I'm mucking that up. But, yeah, I think that the funny thing is I don't really think people are stupid. I think we're all just animals. We have our weaknesses and we have our strengths, and we have a whole mix. So I don't like to think that half of the people are stupid and the other half just don't, and the other half are stupider. I think we're all smart, and I think we all have human failings that we're susceptible to media manipulation, and of course we trust people who are older than us oftentimes when we shouldn't, and if someone calls on the telephone and is very knowledgeable. I just think that I'm very gentle towards people. We're not stupid. We're really creative, and we're capable of trying more things than are safe.
Well, I think that in your books there's a lot of, like, I mean, people are
if you're going to go out, there's definitely, like, you can go out with a bang. like, people are, there's, creativity is kind of, you know, rewarded somehow.
Oh, these are great. Do not, survival tips. See, I told you in the Appendix A, survival tips, lessons I've drawn from this very book. Do not swim in crocodile-infested waters. Do not warm your buns inside a shrink wrap oven, and I'm talking about your buns. Do not exit a fast-moving vehicle to swap seats with passenger. Things like that. Don't light cigarette. This one father had his lap full of firecrackers, and he used to light one off a cigarette and throw it out the window. With the kids in the car, of course. And one time, the firecracker dropped into his lap. Bam, 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 bam. The woman writing the story said, "I'm the last of 9 children, and we think that's why."
Wow, wow, wow. Go ahead at the mic.
So we all have to go sometime, and I was wondering if you had a choice in the matter, would you like to go out peacefully, or would you like to win a Darwin Award?
As long as it was painless, I would like to win a Darwin Award. I think it would be more fun.
Thank you.
How about you? I want to know if you'd like to win a Darwin Award or...
A Darwin Award all the way.
All right.
It comes up a lot in the FAQs, but... Do you have physical Darwin Awards?
I don't have an actual physical Darwin Award yet. Yeah. I have some Darwin Award products that are really fun. Like I said, you can buy Darwin Awards brand condoms from me to give to people who need the hint. But I'm thinking about making
Christmas
an award. I think we should have an award, or at least should have some sort of a plaque you can give someone who's headed for a Darwin Award. I've been trying to think about something like a DNA helix unraveling at the top. I've had a lot of good ideas.
Yeah.
Nothing struck me as being the quintessential idea. One of my assistants, she really wants a small puppy. She wants a small beagle. She thinks people will get that that's the ship that Darwin rode on. So
right,
she would like to give away a small beagle to Darwin Award winners. But really, who's going to accept it?
Yeah, that's a really fair question.
I just need one award. I can just keep reusing it over and over.
Yeah. Go ahead at the mic.
My question is, I haven't read any of your books, and I apologize. I'm going to fix that immediately.
Thank you.
Physician who was in Bakersfield for 10 years before I came here, I'm wondering if there's someone down there I don't know anymore. But my question is, do you give mixed awards? Have you ever given the Darwin Award and Poetic Justice? And I have a patient. I'm an ER doctor.
Great.
And
let's
have
go out to dinner later, and I'll write notes.
I had a guy, a fellow who pistol whipped a very nice old couple who had a mom and pop grocery store, and then stuck the gun in his pants as he was running away and took off about the last inch and a half of his penis. And I think he got pretty close to qualifying for both the Poetic Justice and the Darwin Award.
You win a free T-shirt. I love that story.
Well, I think there should be a mixed category or win two awards at once.
Right. I think most of the criminals fall into the Poetic Justice category because they're already doing something bad. But there was a little low-level criminal who was said, it was said when the Darwin Award was submitted that he was stealing lobsters to have a special dinner for his girlfriend. So he stuck these live lobsters down his pants and he ran out the front door and they slipped out of the little paper bands and they performed the vasectomy. So that's a lot like the story. Okay. However, I want to tell you that's an urban legend. It was reported as fact by a Fort Lauderdale newspaper. When people started telling me it was an urban legend, I contacted the reporter and he said it was true. He reported on it. He verified it. So I went back to my audience and I said, it's true. They kept saying, it's not true. And I went back to the reporter a second time, and he admitted, yeah, it was true because he found it on the Internet. So we're pretty sure that's an urban legend. That was a long time ago. But I love your story. That's a wonderful... I get so many medical submissions. Do I have time for a medical submission story? It's very short.
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. This is my favorite. So a person who had retired from the ER has been sending many, many stories. And I like this one best of all. Two men were out hunting. They were in the winter, and they were stamping across a small glacier when one of them lost his footing and went zipping down over the edge of the glacier and out of sight. And his friend called out in terror, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And
the person who'd slipped out of sight said, yes. And so to get down the glacier fast, the fellow just plopped onto his butt and slid right off the edge. And as he's going over the edge, he sees that his friend is hanging onto a little tree, and there's nothing but a huge drop. And so the friend reported what happened, and the ER person was the one who had the deceased Darwin Award. And so he submitted stories like that. It was ridiculous. And so these, by their nature, you really can't verify them because they have to keep privacy. But I know enough nurses and doctors that I know they don't have to make up material, and that really rings true. You know, a lot of the stories just ring true. A lot of strange this. I mean, all the doctors know the strange sexual sexual things. They could write a whole book on that. But
I did notice there were quite a few doctor submissions.
Yeah.
Man, any final questions from the audience?
No, what about the Collier brothers?
1947, upper Manhattan.
An old one.
Two brothers who were disposophobes. They collected stuff.
Disposophobes.
That's the term for it. And one of them became blind and bedridden, and the other one took care of them and made all these tunnels and stuff and booby-trapped them and was caught by one of his own booby-traps, and then his brother starved him.
Wow. Now, why is that not a Darwin Award winner? Innocent bystander injured. But funny. Very funny. Just because it's not a Darwin Award doesn't make it not funny. And there's somebody standing at the microphone very patiently, too. What's your question?
Hi, my name is Darren. Do you have a section for celebrity deaths? For example, David Carradine comes to mind.
Would you like to tell me about that?
Well, he was found, in Bangkok, in a wardrobe, auto-asphyxiated. In a self-pleasure setting. So it wasn't a suicide, apparently. And the other one that comes to mind is Steve Fawcett, the aviator, who didn't seem to plan enough in his flight and was found in the side of a mountain when he should have known better. So at some point, where do you draw the line that a professional or celebrity would know better?
Right. Professional celebrities are just as eligible as anybody else for a Darwin Award, but I don't want to give a Darwin Award based only on a celebrity. And there was a Darwin Award nomination of Owen Hart, who was a wrestler in the WWF, and he was going to jump onto stage from a bungee cord. He wasn't tied on properly. I'm not sure if it was I wouldn't call it his fault, because when you're performing, you're relying on someone else to check those things, right? So he was nominated over and over again. Everybody knew him. They thought it was funny that he bungee cord, but it's really, he was relying on the people around him. So I wouldn't give anyone an award just because they're a celebrity and they're in the limelight. But sure, if you're, I think it was really funny when President Bush fell off a Segway, right? That was funny to me, because I own a Segway and you're not supposed to be able to fall off and they have gyroscopes. So right, I'll poke fun at public figures. And I'm waiting for the day that John Stewart is ready to win a Darwin Award, because I love John and I really want to give him a Darwin Award.
Well, with that,
he's married with kids. So I guess he can't win one. He's already reproduced. Sorry,
yeah.
John.
Gosh, I hope he doesn't get one anytime soon. I think our time is drawing to a close, but it is the newly founded informed tradition of asking all of the speakers the following question. Wendy Northcutt, what is your 60-second idea to change the world?
I was warned about that, and it's a good thing. So my 60-second idea to change the world is simply to make birth control available to anybody who wants it, and do more research in finding out ways of having easy birth control available, because the only problem that I see that we have with the planet is too many people, and we don't have to kill anyone. We just have to have minus population growth for only a few generations, and everything will get so much better. So that's my answer.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Wendy, for sharing your thoughts. Now this meeting of Inform in the Commonwealth Club is adjourned.
Thank you.